Here we go, MG. We are going to do little pocket previews of all week one finals. Now, to really get stuck into these, MG, I'd be a dead weight around your neck if it was just you and I talking about them. So we thought, who better to bring in than one of your fellow Penrith greats and happy family member of the Triple M NRL team, Ryan Girdler. Hello, Girds.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Fantastic, Girds. Mate,
unreal.
This is a unbelievable semi-final series we've got in front of us. Friday night, we see the Storm taking on the Rabbitohs. Storm have Slater, Vunivalu, Munster. Hughes goes to half. Rabbitohs basically unchanged. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, it's a good one, MG. It's a good one to start the final.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to forget about that game in round 21 when Storm got out to a 10-point lead just before half time, and usually when they get out into a lead, they close them out, don't they? But the Rabbitohs in the second half just came home all over them. I think Cook ran for like 190 metres that afternoon, and he set up a couple of tries for Sam Burgess, and that left side for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, just they couldn't be stopped. And I just get the feeling that if they play through the middle like that again and the Storm can't control the ruck, South Sydney are going to be too good. So even though those guys that you mentioned are going to be back on Friday night, G, I'm going to go for a little bit. I haven't won down there, I think, in Melbourne in their last 14 starts and haven't won at Amy Park in their last seven. So they've got all the stats against them, but they were impressive last week against the Tigers, and I'm going to back that little bit of momentum. And don't forget Melbourne, too. You spoke about those guys coming back, but it's not sure what sort of week they're going to have preparation-wise when they've got guys sort of not training early in the week. Spoke about Hughes, only played about 11 games this year at halfback. So there's just a few uncertainties going into the game for the Storm, and I'm just going to back the Rabbitohs with a little bit of momentum.
I wanted to see a statement last week from the Rabbitohs against the Tigers, and boy, didn't they deliver one, 51 points to 10. And it was the first time that the band was back together, first time their back line had been together for a number of weeks, and what we saw was a masterclass of backline play. Obviously, the Storm are a lot better defensive team, I would imagine, in Melbourne than the Tigers are. The Storm, on the other hand, had a hard-fought loss over the Panthers, severely depleted, but they had penalties on their side and they had two Panther players in the sin bin. I suppose the only thing I'm worried about is that leading into a semi-final game, you want a bit more of a test than the Rabbitohs were given from the Tigers? Or do you think that test they got was exactly what they needed to oil the wheels, so to speak?
I get the feeling, MG, that the Rabbitohs have just sort of been waiting around for the last couple of weeks for the finals to start. I saw that a little bit in their game against the Raiders where they came out in the first 15 minutes. So this was in the second last round of the season. And they just put it, they clicked straight into gear. They scored some early points and then they relaxed again and the Raiders sort of came over the top of them at the end. And then I got the feeling that they were just sort of, I don't know, they're waiting for the bigger games at the end of the season. And then last week, yeah, I think it was a little bit of the fact that they wanted a good performance going into this week's game. And they also, the Tigers, really fell away in the second half. So, yeah, I haven't read too much into what the Rabbitohs have been doing over the last month, just for the pure fact that, as you said, they've had a few injuries. That left-hand side of the field that has been just so brilliant with the football this year has all been reassembled. And I just think they've kind of just been waiting for the big games to come around and none get bigger than Friday.
Hey, MG, good. Surely, how much does the Bellamy factor weigh in here? Because obviously the Rabbitohs have got plenty of experience, but they are being led by a first-year senior coach who used to be one of Craig Bellamy's assistants in Anthony Seibold. But how is there any chance the wily veteran and master coach that Craig Bellamy is just might have a few little surprises planned?
Oh, look, yeah. I think he'll get Dally M Coach of the Year, Seibold, for what he's been able to achieve. He spent some time under Bellamy. He's got David Fern, who won a competition as assistant coach with the Cowboys. So yeah, I don't read a lot in to the way that I guess the only thing is, you know, Bellamy knows how to prepare the boys in relation to the games at this time of year and whether or not he needs to, you know, through the week, how their preparation's going, whether he needs to you know, give him a kick up the bum, or whether he needs to just sort of let him go. And he's probably got a really good feel for how the team is preparation-wise. So there's definitely an edge there for the Storm. But, yeah, I think Seibold's done a great job this year, and I don't think he'll let his players down come finals time.
Yeah, I agree with the Gerds in that respect. I think that these, but this is the, you know, the ultimate coach and his apprentice, and I think that Seibold is an absorber of information. He's a learned man. He's basically one of these blokes who are just as smart as 10 of us put together. And I don't think you'll leave any stone unturned. And the way he's addressed the Broncos rumours, the way he's spoken about his team, he's a bloke that I think a lot of blokes would like to be coached by. Saying that, I'm still thinking on their home deck, I'm still liking the Storm.
All right, so give us to sum this one up. First game, Friday night, you can hear this one on Sydney's Triple M. Who wins, what's the margin, and player of the match?
Oh, okay, I'll go. I'm going to go Rabbits by 14.
Ooh.
Sam Burgess ran for over 200 metres in the last meeting. He's got a little bit of hamstring injury. I think it's the Rabbits that have played to their potential in this final series. It's up to the two men up front in Tommy and George. If they're rolling through the middle, it releases Cook. So I'm going to go the Rabbitohs with one of the Burgesses to get me out of the match. Can I say that?
It's like saying
I'll just say Burgess to get me out of the match.
That's like saying one of the Jennings to be the top try scorer in that game earlier in the year between the Eels and the Bunnies. Who you got, MG?
Yeah. Storm, 22-16, man of the match, Cameron Munster.
Very good. All right, let's move to Saturday afternoon. This is the first Saturday game. Two games on Saturday. If you want to hear this one, grab the Triple M NRL app. It's the best way to listen to this call. Panthers v. the Warriors. Gents, we'll start with you, MG, on this one. What are you thinking?
Out of the four games, look, I know the Broncos and Dragons, but I think the Dragons might give the Broncos a bit of pain. We'll get to that game in a minute. But this is probably the hardest game to pick on form. Panthers have... They're a completely different team with James Maloney in their outfit. And I think Blake Green is as well with the New Zealand Warriors. If I'm a Panther fan, I'm worried about the fact that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck has had a quiet couple of weeks. And if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm worried that James Maloney eats up semi-final footy. Look, obviously I'm going to lean towards the Panthers. And they've been, I think Corey Hawira-Naira is back after a week out with a concussion. He replaces Jack Hetherington. So they're at full strength, as are the Warriors. So there's no excuse for either team. The fact that it's played here in Sydney means nothing to the Warriors because they've had a season where they've won their most away games on record. So whatever they're doing well. But I just think... And I'm not going just with my heart here. I'm going with my head as well when I think the Panthers are in for something special on Saturday night.
Is he selling me? for mine, I've had a good look at this game over the last couple of days. And I just think some of those parts of the Warriors games where they've been really strong lately are really going to expose the deficiency of the some of the deficiencies in the Panthers sort of team over the probably last 8 weeks or so. I think it's through the middle of the field. I went back and had a look at some of the Panthers games early on the season when they were on that little bit of a roll.
Oh, look at you go. Really look at, well. What, research now? Jesus Christ.
Well, I've just been trying to get my head around. I've been trying to get my head around what bloody happened to these blokes, you know? And the one thing that I mainly noticed was their intent defensively and their line speed and their energy.
Mm.
And that's something they had a lot of early on in the season, and they bullied a lot of sides. And it was guys like, you know, Campbell Gillard and Fisher Harris, and Merrin was even sort of playing a different style of footy. And they really got up in the faces, and they really intimidated some sides. And on the back of that, they were able to, you know, get off to that brilliant start. Now, I haven't seen them do that since about round 12. They've lost that part of their game. Therefore, if you go up against the Warriors and you don't do that, you don't work on your lines, but you don't get out and you don't dominate that middle third of the field, it brings Isaac Luke into play. Now, Isaac Luke, I reckon, I know two of Arthur Sheck and Johnson are in great form, but I reckon he's their most dangerous player. And if he's guys through the middle of going forward, he's generating all the momentum off the back of their ruck speed, and he just, especially he's a different sort of player. He's sort of quick, but he's also got that offload in his game, and he knows he's just got a lot of experience. So he reads the game so well. And you put that together with their right-hand side. So Penrith left over the last 6 weeks has just been defensively diabolical. You know, they've just leaked tries. It's Maloney, it's Wonga Blake down there, and Big Kakao, and they've been all over the place defensively, yeah? Their right-hand attacking side of the Warriors is it's almost up there with the left of the South Sydney side. It's got Johnson, you've got Harris, you've got Fusatula, who's the leading try scorer in the competition. So you're going to put all their strength against, you know, the Panthers' weaknesses. So I convinced myself that Penrith couldn't win, you know, unless they come out and show us something that they haven't been capable of since round 12. And I saw a little bit last week. There was a little bit more fight, but it still lacked, you know, it still lacked a fair bit. I mean, I know Melbourne had a lot of players missing and they went down there and put in a pretty decent performance, but it was scrappy. You know, it wasn't a polished performance. So they're going to need to bring a lot of energy and a lot of polish to their performance on Saturday to get the bickies.
Yeah, everything you say is spot on. The deficiencies in the Penrith defensive line have been down their left side, and I think that'll be addressed. I think there's no doubt you've got to address it. And you don't want to be humiliated on the last game of the year when this is sudden death. You know, basically there is no tomorrow's Rocky. There is no tomorrow, so you've got to address your deficiencies. And I spoke to Cameron Serrato through the week, both on Triple M and for Channel 7, and he had a kind of a steeler resolve about him. I said that the last 8 weeks as an understatement has been a turmoil here at Panthers. And he said, yeah. He said, but I've looked at the players this week, and there's been something different about them, and the look in their eye when they turn up the training. And I've got to go along with the coach. And if the coach is feeling that there's a change in the attitude of the players, and them three players you mentioned, Campbell Gillard, Harris, and Merrin, they're the blokes who have got to muscle up to the big Warriors pack. If they don't, the Warriors could put 50 on them. They've got to start strong and start strong with a bang, and let Maloney and let the young Cleary get into the game and do their thing so that Waka Blake and Mansour can run amok and young Dallin at the back. So for mine, it's going to be a tight game, but I'll go first here for my score and star of the game. I think it's going to be Penrith 18-16 in a low-scoring game. And I'm thinking that someone like a Billy Kickow is going to get man of the match.
Nice, Gerds.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to stick with the Warriors by eight. I'm going to say Isaac Luke, man of the match. And I think Matty Chechen's got that game, so at least we're going to see some good footy. I'm actually really glad that Matty got a finals game. We know it's his last season. There was a lot of talk saying that, you know, he's offside with some of the hierarchy there at the Referees Association. So I'm glad that he's actually been given an appointment on the weekend, and I'm glad he's got our game. So it's going to be a good one.
Okay, so MG going with his Panthers, Gerds going with the Warriors, and that sound you hear is the name of Ryan Girdler's name being taken out of the Panthers Hall of Fame, or rather taken out of consideration for the Panthers Hall of Fame.
It's an opinion, mate. He's allowed to it. That's the thing. He gets paid for his opinion.
I'll be supporting the mighty Panthers. I absolutely will be. But in relation to, you know, being a
pundit,
so-called expert, well, yep, I've got to go with what my head tells me.
Let's face the facts. I can still live here.
Yeah. Gerds doesn't have to tip Manly for against.
He doesn't have to walk down High Street and get a coffee like what I do.
I don't pretend people are listening to your podcast.
All right. We get pretty good at podcast numbers, I'll have you know, Ryan Girdler. Let's move to Saturday night. This one is massive. You've got 1v4, Roosters v Sharks, and the latest ticket sales indicate that it is going to be overwhelmingly a Cronulla-based crowd. 62%.
Oh. Ambush.
62% of tickets sold are going to Sharks supporters. So Allianz Stadium, it should be a packed crowd, but it's going to be obviously Sharky supporters. What do you think, Gerds?
Did you say overwhelming and 52%?
62.
Oh, 62%. You're kidding me. Yeah, that is overwhelming. really tough one. I like MG thought, the Penrith one, well, I think this is probably the toughest one that I've had to ponder probably the longest over the last couple of days. And just for the pure fact that They're both in really good, in good touch. They were both really impressive last week. Sharkies have won four on the trot going into this one. They seem like they're just building every week, getting that little bit better. And they play a style that can really worry the Roosters. Like, if I'm the coach of the Sharkies, you've seen the Roosters back three for the last couple of weeks, yeah? So Tedesco, Ferguson and Tupou, they've run for almost 800 metres a week over the last 3 weeks, you know? So ridiculous numbers. The thing is with the Roosters, sometimes I think, you know, their forwards, you know, struggle with the football to get some momentum. And they generate a lot of that from those guys at the back, yeah, coming out of trouble. They usually get them off to a really good start. Their forwards then do a little bit of work through the middle of the field. Then they give it wide to their edges in the form of Manu and Mitchell. And then Cooper does a great little kick. And that's all well and good when things are going your way. It's a great plan. But I think the Roosters really struggled. We saw it up there against Brisbane a few weeks ago when they shut their middle down and they stopped their go forward down and they hit the lead. They struggle to chase points and they struggle to play a different way. You know, Cooper's so programmed into, you know, that style of footy that all of a sudden when they're on the back foot and they're chasing points and they need to do something off the cuff and a little ad lib, they panic and they get a little bit flustered because it's not the way in which they like to do things. So I think the Sharks can apply that sort of style of football where they slow the ruck down, you know, they've got arms and legs in there, they dominate the ruck, they make sure that, you know, they're frustrating the Roosters players. They'll get in their face. They can jump out from marker. And I think there's a game plan there that they can apply, given their style and experience, that can really rattle up the Roosters. So for this one, boys, I'm going to go a little bit of an upset, and I'm going to dip the Sharkies.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards them as well, Gers. If I'm the Roosters, Rabbits or Storm, I'm hoping that the Sharks don't make the top four. But they have, and they're the niggling, gritty, tough type of team that eats up semi-final footy. They started the season pretty slowly, winning only two of their first six games. They've won 14 of their last 18, and all their main players are back. Lewis is back from injury. Wade Graham's played two games back from a hamstring injury. Their depth on their forward bench is unbelievable. I just feel as though that the Sharkies this time of year are the... I mentioned James Maloney, how he loves this time of year. Well, the Sharks, over the last few seasons, have been that type of team. And not to say the Roosters aren't in this game, though. The Roosters have got players who are big match players, you know. And Gerd's mentioned the back three. Wow, they've... You know, the amount of metres they've run over the last few weeks is quite staggering. But these big games are won up front. And I'm without Dylan Napa, he's such a big loss that... Okay, they got by, you know, last week without him, but I don't think they'll get by without him this week when it really matters. We spoke to Boyd Cordner earlier in the week, Liam, and if you listen to him, they're going to win pretty easily because he sounded very confident.
Yeah,
and I suppose you've got to be as a captain of the club, but I'm just thinking the Sharks are loving this. They're loving the fact that they've got the Roosters on their home deck, and I think they're going to love the fact that they're going to basically beat them on their home deck, and I think they will.
Mm. Goods, Cooper Cronk, I mean, you'd have to say, how far do the Roosters have to go in the final series for the Cooper Cronk experiment to have paid off? They obviously won the minor premiership, so there's $100,000 going into the coffers of the Sydney Roosters, not that they need it, but how far do they have to get for the departure of Mitchell Pearce to have been justified?
Oh, I think it's justified already. You know, I said last week on the Saturday show that I think James Tedesco's been the buy of the season, and not because what he's done to date. I know it took him, you know, 8 or 10 weeks to get himself into the form that probably warranted a little bit of love off the Roosters, who were fans who were quite brutal with him early. But if he's not one of the best big game players that our game has at the moment, I mean, you think about, you know, when he comes up and he plays State of Origin, he's unbelievable at that level, State of Origin. He goes to another level. If you think about the games that they played this year against when they beat the Rabbits, you know, this guy is just one of those players that on the big stage it brings out the best in what he does. And I think, again, the reason he's the buy of the season is because what he's about to produce, what he's going to do for the Roosters in the finals, it's really exciting. So, yeah, I think he's certainly justified, not just for this year, but for years to come. And I just think Cooper, it's not just what you get, you know, on the weekends. It's what he's brought to that group, you know, at training, and what he's probably done for the some of those young guys in relation to their, you know, their preparation and their mindset, and just learning how to be, you know, really professional. And I think he brings so much to that club. So, yeah, I think, you know, you're right. They won the minor premiership, and we don't know how far they're going to go in the season. But I don't think you'd see too many Roosters fans out there complaining about the, you know, Cooper Cronk, Mitchell Pearce exchange. Mm.
No, because once you bought Cooper Cronk, along with an established halfback with a sensational business acumen as far as game goes, you've bought a assistant coach as well. So, yeah, I think he's paid their price already. Look, for mine, the danger man in this whole game, you know, we mentioned the Tedescos and the Fergusons and the Tupus, but the player stepping out of the box at the moment in the competition, the main man at the moment, the most outstanding player at the minute, is Valentine Holmes. If the Roosters find a way to contain him, they might go a long way into winning the game, because he pops up everywhere and he's playing with that confidence that players, Latrell was playing with it a month ago, and they're unstoppable when they're playing with it. At the moment, that Golden Wanderers hit Valentine Holmes. So he's the man that the Roosters must stop. If they stop him, yeah, they might win the game, but I'm still leaning towards the Sharks' victory.
The Golden Wand. Val Holmes hit with the Golden Wand. I like that. All right, Gerds, what's your tip, scoreline and player, please, Gerds?
Yeah, I'm going to go Sharks by 4. I hadn't really thought about a man of the match. Let's go with, let's maybe like a Wade going to be up against on that right side. Yeah, maybe a Wade Graham. You know, get a couple of games under his belt. Found a little bit of form last week. Was a bit lippy with Clemmer, so he's taken a bit of arrogance into the game. So he might just be up and about for it.
Sharky's 28-18. Entry for feeder, man of the match.
All right, last game of the first week of finals. This one, a lot of people we spoke to on the show during the week, Gerds, was their lock of the first week of finals. The Broncos taking on the Dragons. It's a Sunday afternoon at Suncorp Stadium, 4 o'clock kickoff. You calling this one, Gerds?
Yep. I think I'm doing the Friday, Saturday with MG, then the Sunday. So big weekend to travel.
Which would explain the amount of research he's putting into it. Good to see, right? What do you like here, Gerds?
I just love the game, Liam. I just love the game, brother.
Rugby league's a winner.
So who's playing on Sunday? You think there's going to be one clear-cut favourite over the weekend, it's going to be the Broncos at home, who have just come off, you know, an amazing month of footy. And just when we thought, you know, Wayne, was under pressure and the place was falling apart, you know, the group gets galvanised and there's things happening at barbecues. But what's going on the field is what's important. That's where Wayne, you know, that's where I think Wayne earns his dollars, because, he takes a lot of pressure off the players. He takes a lot of hype out of the situation. He makes it about himself better than any other coach in the competition when it's needed. And then all of a sudden, you got people out there, ex-Broncos like Gordon Tallis, declaring that they're going to win the premiership. So he's a strange one, Wayne, but he somehow gets the best out of that group and seems to be doing it again at the moment. So I've really been impressed with the Broncos, mainly the change in Milford's, the mental approach that he's taking in relation to his game, where he doesn't focus on his running game anymore. It's all about kicking and the game management aspect of it, which is something they've really lacked. And I think on the back of that, if the Broncos get that right, I think they're going to be way too hard to stop for the Dragons. And I think also the Broncos have probably got the best bench in the competition. Young guys like Offahen Gowie, the form of Corbin Sims, this young Fafita, young Moga. Mm. I mean, these guys are huge. It's a powerful bench. And they're one of those sides that usually after you put your best group on to start the game, and after 20, 25 minutes, you start sort of bringing them off. And for a lot of sides, then there's a little bit of a downturn in their performance for that next sort of 20 or 30 minutes until they get their main guys back on again. The Broncos surge in that part of the game. When these young guys come on, Offahen Gowie, they start tearing in and their game goes to another level. And then they get replaced, and then they bring off, you know, Pangai Jr. and Lodge, and they put those guys on ice for 20 or 30 minutes, and then they get the back end of the game. It's a beautiful rotation that Wayne's got up there at the moment. The form of Darius Boyd too. We saw that he was injured, obviously, you know, about 6 or 8 weeks ago with a hammy. They tried him in the centres. It didn't sort of work. And then all of a sudden he's come back to fullback and he's playing inspired. And I put that down to the fact that he wasn't involved in Origin this year. He's getting older. And he just looks like he's refreshed and ready to go into a finals campaign. They just look to me, the Broncos, and I know that they've won their last 3 in a row. And for them to win another, you know, to win the comp, they need to win another 4 in a row. So it's a big run to win 7 in a row. And then they've got to do a lot of that down here in Sydney. So it's a big ask for them, but I just don't think they're done. I know I haven't mentioned much about the Dragons at the moment, but for me, Sunday afternoons, it's all about the Broncos.
Yeah, it's all about depth, depth and more depth. And as Gerd just mentioned, when you can put when Alex Glenn comes back into the team and you've got Fifita back to the bench with Offen and Gary back to the bench, and you've got to omit Katoni Staggs, this young sensation who's been a mainstay of their team for much of this season. Their depth is unfriggin' believable, really. Look, I think as far as McCulloch back after concussion after a week, Josh Maguire goes back to lock, and they're at their strongest right now. They're at their strongest right now. They are the form team of the competition. They're the team that I don't want to play if I'm playing semi-final footy, because especially up in Brisbane at the moment. But the Dragons just got to throw everything out the window that they've been doing in the last month. They've just got to start playing a little bit more gay abandon and just throw the ball around. I mean, Gareth Widdop's back. So all of a sudden, the pressure certainly goes on his shoulders. And I don't think young Hunt is a organiser of the game. I want to see him run maybe every second or third set with the ball. Just get the ball and run. Just try and create something with the ball. And who knows what's going to happen. They've still got an Origin pack, you know. They've still got 3 or 4 players in this pack who have played State of Origin. They're a strong pack. Bit of doubt about Jack DeBellin's injury. But look, I can't see anything but a Broncos win as well, Gerds. I think that if I had to put your Gerds grind on this game, I would. Gerdler's grind by...
Oh, that's nice enough.
Gerdler's grind 36-16, I think, with young Milford being man of the match.
36-16, the Broncos, Milford man of the match. Gerds, before we get your tip, what would you recommend Paul McGregor do with Ben Hunt? Because there's been so many questions. The price tag on this bloke means there's automatic pressure on him. We know his form has fallen away, and you'd reckon he couldn't have wished for a worse first round final than to get his old side at Suncorp Stadium. What does Mary McGregor need to be doing with this kid in the lead up to this game?
You know, I watched that game. We called that game a couple of Sundays ago at Jubilee when they got beat 38-0 by the Bulldogs, and There was a few dramas after that game in relation to the way that, you know, some of the fans abused the players and whatnot. And I think what they were disappointed at, especially in Ben Hunt, and what caught me by surprise was his effort.
Mm.
And I think if you're paid, you know, and you're only worth what someone's willing to pay, yeah? And they brought him down there, and he mightn't be the game management, you know, the manager that they wanted, and he mightn't be, you know, a guy that plays consistently, you know, I think with some of those top players, what makes them so great is their best and worst aren't that far apart. And I think with Benny Hunt, he can have a real shocker, yeah? And he might sometimes throw out a 4 and he might throw out an 8, whereas, you know, your Slaters and those guys that are also up there on that sort of money, they might throw out a 7 and an 8 and a 6 maybe at their worst, you know? So what one thing I would do with Ben Hunt, what I think he needs to work on is just his effort, you know, these effort parts of his game. So it's like Jonathan Thurston. No one will ever really... Jonathan Thurston, everyone might have a bit of a go at him every now and again and say, oh, he's not playing well, but they'll never say he's not out there having a go. And he's the one that's chasing back, you know, if he's on the ball and he's just there just because he might be needed. And I think that's what makes him the champion that he is. And I think against the Bulldogs a couple of times, you could see, you know, Ben Hunt gave up on the chase when they were coming down his side. And people are probably sitting there going, well, hang on a sec, mate. If you're out of form, we get it. It happens. But we don't want to see you giving up. You know, you're our highest paid player and you need to get out there and really have a dig each week, minimum. So I think if I'm Mary, I'm going to him saying, mate, you know, yeah, your form and that, as MG said, stop second-guessing yourself. Go out there, play some footy. But first and foremost, mate, get out there and have a real dig and just put your body in it. Make sure you're chasing hard and you're doing all those small... you know, those small efforts in the game right, and I think your form will come on the back of that. Whether or not it's this week and whether you get another opportunity next week, will yet to be seen. But what I want you to do is come off at the end of the game. I want you to be buggered, and I want you to have given it your all. And if that's the case, mate, we can't ask for anything else.
Yeah, if there is a storyline in this semi-final series, it's got to be Ben Hunt up against the Broncos. He's the team that he left. If this isn't a redemption game for Ben Hunt, and if this isn't a game where Ben Hunt says, you know what, I've got nothing to lose here. No one thinks we're going to beat the Broncos. It's my old team. Everyone thinks I'm going to have a shocker. Just be busy. Just be busy, be busy, be busy. Kick, run, chip, whatever you got to do and stay in the game. And who knows, they might pull off a win. I'm not going to say that they're going to win against the Broncos, but I'm not going to say they're going to get flogged either. This is, you know, this could be a close game if every Dragon player plays to their full potential.
Is there a shadow of a doubt that if the Broncos kick off, that kick is going straight at Ben Hunt?
Yeah. No. What a moment, hey, for the young guy. I mean, up there at Suncorp, he'll be facing some demons, but, you know, that's
part of the game.
Part of it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's all part of it. So they haven't won up there. They haven't won up there since 2009, the Dragon.
Mm. Here we go again.
He's done his research again.
He's bloody Julius Sumner Miller.
There's some stats sometimes that just stand up and slap you in the face. And, you know, they don't play well there, the Dragons. And then take in current form of what they've been up to and then, you know, what we've seen the Broncos achieve over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And, you know, you got to say that it's Broncos. So I'll say Broncos by 18. My man of the match will probably be, you know who I reckon has been one of the stories of the year? Matt Lodge. Mm. I'm going to go with Matt Lodge. He's been brilliant. So.
He has been.
Well, there you go. The four games for the first weekend of finals. Gerds is tipping the Bunnies, the Warriors, the Sharks and the Broncos. And MG going with the Storm, the Panthers, Sharks and Broncos. Gentlemen, we look forward to seeing
you. Can we just add that I've just done a whole round of shopping at the same time. So, you know, I'm multitasking. So for all those ladies out there that say men can't multitask, I've got two kids running around crazy and I've got a... you can hear the shopping trolley here.
Yeah, I can. Mate, I just heard out of the reception. Clean up in aisle six.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.
You're a champion, brother.
Daddy Daycare. Thank you for your time, mate.
He's the best.
There you go.